Mirandola.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, and you?
Baruch Hashem, I'm good.
Glad to know, Randy. Glad to know you're here.
I am. Well, I'm still on this side.
Were you the first?
I think I'm the first one on.
Well, we'll just wait a few more minutes then.
Great. You know, we've got one of those tropical storms out there in the Gulf again.
That's what I hear. It's supposed to be there by the weekend.
Yes. Well, you know, that's how it goes. When you live on the coast, that's what you have to put up with. So it's either tropicals or storms on the coast, earthquakes further up, or volcanoes. So choose your spot.
Well, let's hope the tropical storm becomes a minor earth hurricane that washes away the virus.
Wouldn't that be nice? That really would be nice. Marco, is that you?
Yeah.
Okay, you doing okay?
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome, Marco.
Hello. I'm going to mute. I'm in Dallas today, so...
We can begin.
Okay, I'm on mute.
Okay. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. The handout can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 6. The third column from the left, the title, I believe, is the Parasha Essence. And when you open up that landing page, scroll down to the Sefer Joshua, the Book of Joshua study. And today we're connecting to chapter 8. And when you first open up that study guide, so to speak, there's a link to open up the Mahon Mamre website. And when that opens up, scroll down to chapter 8, and that's where we will begin. After we're actually going to begin with the L'shem Yichud and then the initial part of my addition. L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Udhilu, Urchimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urchimu, Leakta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe. The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vahino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananehu. I am adding, there are 35 verses in this chapter. 35 connects to a Hebrew word that translates as voice. Another phrase that has the same gematria translates, and is loving. Let us begin with the Machon Mamre, chapter 8, verse 1. Vayomer Hashem El Yehoshua Al Tira We Al Techat Kach Imcha Et Kolam Hamil Kama Wekumale Ha'ai Re'e Nat Hati Biyadcha Et Melech And Hashem said to Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all of the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hands the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Second verse. Ve'asita la'ai u'malka kasher asita li'richo u'malka rak shelala u'pemta tavozu lachem Sim lecha orev la'ir me'acharecha. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst to Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Set thee an ambush for the city behind it. The question I would ask, this is talking about the city of Ai that had caused the problem in that somebody died, one person died in the last campaign because there wasn't enough soldiers. So God is now laying out the plan of attack for Joshua. But the question I would ask is why is this technique to be used in this city of Ai at this time? I've not heard an explanation. I've not read an explanation. I don't have an answer to the question as of yet. The third verse. Vayakam Yehoshua v'kolam ha'milchama la'alot ha'ai Vayivchar Yehoshua Shloshim Elef Ishki Bore Hachayil Vayishlachem Laila. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up to Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 men, the mighty men of valor, and sent them forth by night. Question asked, did Joshua go with them? Verse 4. Vayetzav otam lemor Re'u atem orvim la'ir me'acharei Ha'ir al tarchiku min ha'ir Me'od ve'hit yitem kulchem nekomim. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in ambush against the city. Behind the city, go not very far from the city, but ye be ye all ready. If you look at the Hebrew, the second line, the last word is me'od. And that's it's a word that translates usually as very, as the Hashem said that the light was good. And then on the third day, he said it was very good, tov me'od. So this is the meaning of the word me'od. The Kabbalists explain that in creation, the word me'od, which is adding to good, represents the negative system. And understanding that connotation and that definition, look at the comma before me'od and then the semicolon. Where in this translation, in the English translation, do you see me'od? You see go not very far. So what is the purpose of me'od being behind the comma? Isn't it part of that same section? Al tarchiku min ha'ir. What I'm explaining is that the punctuation in the Hebrew and the punctuation in the English is different, and that's very important. I don't know where the punctuation comes from on the Machon Mamre website. I don't know why they punctuate it this way. It's obviously not done that way in the scroll, so there has to be some meaning to it. But I'm finding it difficult to follow that, especially when we understand that the word me'od is really bringing in the concept. If something is good, if something is perfect, then in English we don't use the word perfect frequently, because nothing is perfect in the physical world. It's all still in process. But when we use the word very, we are bringing in the negative system. And by creating the separation with the comma, perhaps that keeps the negative system separated. Perhaps. Verse 5. Wa ani l'ko ha'am asher iti. Mikrav el ha'ir v'haya ki etzu likratenu kasher barishona v'nasnu lifnehem. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, then we will flee before them. Obviously, Joshua did go with the soldiers. He was part of the process. And that is his plan. He's following God's directions and God's plan of setting a trap. Verse 6. Uyatu acharenu achatikenu otam min ha'ir ki yomru nasim lefanenu asher barishona v'nasnu lifnechem. and they will come out after us till we have drawn them away from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first, so we will flee before them. This is an additional part that Joshua, according to the words of the Torah, was not told to do this by God. He's implying this is what they were thinking. Now, it is possible that this is what God had told him would happen, that this would be the thoughts and the thinking of the people of Ai. And rather than duplicate by saying it earlier, when God was giving him directions, we're receiving the information through this verse, which happened later after he's telling the people to follow what God's plan is. Verse 7. Ve'atem takumu me'ha'orev ve'horashtem et ha'ir untana Hashem Eloheichem v'yedchem. And ye shall rise up from the ambush and take possession of the city. For Hashem your God will deliver it into your hand. It's clear that God can prophesize what the thoughts of a person will be, as in verse 6. But as a human being, we frequently question someone's motives. And many times we don't question that to them, but we prophesize, we project, we indicate to ourselves that this is what they were thinking. But we don't know. We are not Hashem, who knows everything. So the question is, what mistake do we do? What mistake do we make when we're doing that prophecy? When we're doing that projection onto someone else? What is the projection? What we think they were thinking. Verse 8. Wichaya ketaf sechem et ha'ir tatzitum et ha'ir be'ish kidvar Hashem tasu re'u tviti etchem. I'm not going to do the English translation of verse 8 yet, because I have a commentary that occurred to me. In verse 7, the last three words are Hashem Eloheichem v'yedchem. Translation literally is Hashem, your God, in your hand. The English translation is, Hashem, your God, will deliver it into your hand. The question I'm raising, many times we see words like Hashem Elohei, or Elohai, Hashem Eloheichem. It doesn't have to say that Hashem is your God. What is the message in this additional word? This verse could say, for Hashem will deliver it into your hand. It doesn't have to say your God. What is that doing? on one level, it's unifying the name Hashem with the name Elohim. And that may be the reason behind it, this additional word. But there could be others. There are others. I'm asking you to contemplate that. Now for the English translation of verse 8. And it shall be when you have seized upon the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the word of Hashem shall you do. See, I have commanded you. Again, why do we need to have these additional words? Re'u, Tziviti, Etchem. What do these words give us, teach us, allow us to learn? The literal translation of Re'e is in seeing. It's not the command see. It's his seeing. The vav at the end of the word is a personal pronoun, a personal possessive pronoun, his. So is Joshua confirming to Hashem that he's commanded the people as he was told? What is the purpose of these words? Verse 9. Vayish lahem Yehoshua v'yelku el hamarav v'yeshvu bein beit el uvein ha'ay miyam la'ay v'yalen Yehoshua b'layla ha'hu b'toch ha'am. And Joshua sent them forth, and they went to the ambushment and the abode between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. What is the meaning of the people? Does he mean the soldiers? Does he mean the people who were traveling and were too late to get into the city of Ai because the gates had been closed? Does it mean inside the city? Verse 10. Vayashkem Yehoshua Baboker Vayishko Et Ha'am Vayal Uvzikne Yisrael Ifne Ha'am Hai. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. Again, this is raising questions. Who are the people? The 11th verse.
V'kol ha'am ha'milchama asher ito alu v'yikshu v'yavou neged ha'ir Vayachanu mitzpon la'ay v'hagay v'einav uvein ha'ay.
And all the people, even the men of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between him and the Ai. The hymn is at Joshua, and is that the men of war with Joshua? Who is him? Why isn't it saying them? Verse 12. Vayikach kachameshet alafim ish vayasem otam. Orev bein bet el vein ha'ayim hiyam la'ir. And he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. So we have 25,000 men on the north and 5,000 on the west. Verse 13. Vayasimu ha'am et kol ha'machane asher mitzpon la'ir v'yet akevo miyam la'ir v'yelech Yehoshua la'layla ahu betoch ha'emek. So the people set themselves in array, even all the host that was on the north of the city, their rear lying in wait on the west of the city. And Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Verse 14. Vaymacharu vayashkimu vayetzu anshei ha'ir likrat Yisrael la'milchama uvekol amo la'moed lifnei ha'arava vehu lo yada ki orev lo me'acharei. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hastened and rose up early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at the time appointed in front of the Arabah. But he knew not that there was an ambush against him behind the city. We would really need to have a layout of the city to know why the ambush is on the west. But the people, the main force is in front in the north. Because you would think that behind the city should be in the south. But of course, if it was in the south, that would represent the energy of Tiferet, the energy of mercy. But in the west, the energy of Malchut is represented, Malchut being the manifestation. So we have differences in the statements that we have to reconcile with our wisdom from Kabbalah. Verse 15. Vayinagu Yehoshua. We call Israel lifnehem, v'yanusu derech hamidbar. And Joshua and all of Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. Now, where is the wilderness? Is that in the north? More than likely, because that's what Kabbalah would imply. But they had to go down into the valley to draw the people out, the war people out of Ai, the city of Ai, So did they have to go back up the mountain to get to the wilderness? Or did they stay in the valley and just disperse, perhaps in both directions? Verse 17. Willo nishar ish ba'ayu veit el asher lo yatsu ha'chare Yisrael v'yasbu et ha'ir v'chtu ha'v'yir d'chu ha'chare Yisrael. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. Verse 18. Vayomer Hashem El Yehoshua Nete Bakidon Asher Beata El Ha'ai Ki V'yata Et Nena V'yet Yehoshua Bakidon Asher B'yado El Ha'ir. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the javelin that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand toward the city. Verse 19. V'haorev kam mehera mim komo ayarutsu kintot yado v'yavo ha'ir v'il keduha Vai maharu, vai atzitu, et ha'ir ba'esh. And the ambush rose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand and entered into the city and took it. And they hastened and set the city on fire. Verse 20. Vayifnu anshei ha'ai achareichem vayiru v'hinei ala hashan ha'ir hashamayma v'lo haya bachem yadayim lanus heina v'heina v'ha'am hanas ha'midbar nechpa El Harodev. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. Verse 21. Yehoshua, we call Yisrael, Rau ki lakad, Haorev et ha'ir, V'ki halashan, ha'ir v'yashuvu, V'yaku et anshei ha'ai. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned back and slew the men of Ai. Verse 22. Ve'ele yatsu min ha'ir likratam v'yiyu li'Yisrael batavech Eile mize, ve'eile mize, vayaku otam, ad bilti hishir lo, sarid ufalit. and the other came forth out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. Verse 23. Et melech ha'ay ta'asu chay v'yikrav v'yachrivu oto el Yehoshua. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. Verse 24. Vayehi kiva v'kekalot Yisrael laharog et kol yoshvei ha'ay basadeh mamidbar asher ledafum bo vayiflu kulam lefi cherev ad tumat V'yashuvu kol Yisrael ha'ay v'yaku ota l'fi cherev. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, even in the wilderness there wherein they pursued them, and they were all fallen by the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all Israel returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. Verse 25. Vayehi kol hanoflim bayom hahu me'ish v'ad isha sh'neim asar aleph kol anshei ha'ai. And all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. Verse 26. Vehoshua lo heshiv yado asher nata bakidon ad asher heherim et kol yoshve ha'ai. For Joshua drew not back his hand, wherewith he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Verse 27. Rachabechema Ushlal ha'ir ha'iyo Yabazulachem Yisrael kidbar Hashem asher tziwa et Yehoshua. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord which he commanded to Joshua. Verse 28. Vayishrof Yehoshua et ha'ay v'yipay simecha tel olam shemama ad hayom hazeh. So Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation, unto this day. Verse 29. V'et melecha aitala al ha'etz ad et harev ulo ha'shemesh siwa Yehoshua v'yoridu et niblato min ha'etz v'yashliku ota el petach shar
Yair Vayakibu. Alav Galavanim. Gadol Ad Hayom Hazeh. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until the eventide. And at the going down of the sun, Joshua commanded, and they took his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city and raised therein a great heap of stones unto this day. Now let us return to our commentary. Achan's confession and punishment cleansed the Israelites of the flaw that led to their defeat at Ai. At God's command, they now used a brilliant military ruse against Ai, engaging the men of the city in battle and then feigning retreat in order to lure them out of the city so that a waiting ambush could enter unopposed and set the whole place on fire. Sometimes the best way to advance and make gains is by first retreating a little. After the capture of Ai, the text gives an account of the ceremonies that took place at Mount Gerizim and at Mount Ebal after the entry of the children of Israel into the land. This is why I stopped at the end of verse 25. Rashi comments that the narrative is not written in order because Joshua's building of the altar on Mount Ebal, the writing of the Torah on the stones, and the solemn ceremony of reciting the blessings and curses before the entire nation, in fact, all took place on the very same day that they crossed the Jordan. The description of the sacrifices and the ceremony in today's text relates back to the mitzvah given by Moses on Deuteronomy in chapter 27, where he says all this was to be done on the day that you crossed the Jordan. Since the ensuing chapters of Joshua will recount the conquest of the land in detail, the positioning of the account of the recital of the blessings and curses right here underlines yet again that Israel's conquest and possession of the land are conditioned and conditional upon our observance of God's Torah. And I am adding, when current leaders say the Mashiach is imminent, this requirement needs to be true for the people. It is not necessary that every child of Israel perform all the mitzvot. Yet there are six eternal mitzvot that needs to be learned by everyone. And one day I will give a class on those six mitzvot. Let us return to the Machon Mamre and finish the few verses that we have left. Verse 30. Az yivne Yehoshua mizbeach l'Hashem Elohai Yisrael b'har Ebal. Then Joshua built an altar unto Hashem, the God of Israel. But it really should be my God of Israel in Mount Ebal, because it has dropped the mem. Now, why would it drop the mem from Elohim? Let's count the words. Nine words tells you a lot about whether it's Chachma or Yesod. Count the letters. It's 36 letters, and 36 connects to the human level of the Tzaddikim. If we made it 37 letters by including the final mem in Elohim, we would have a connection to Bina, because 37 is the concealed number associated with the spelling out of Hashem's name at the level of Bina. 26 plus 37 is 63. If you don't quite understand what I've just said, you need to contemplate it. Verse 31. Kasher tziwa Moshe eved Hashem et b'nei Yisrael kakatu b'sefer Torat Moshe mizbach avanim shelemot asher lo chenif aleichen bartzel v'yalu alav olot l'ashem v'yisbechu shelamim. As Moses, the servant of Hashem, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of unhewn stones upon which no man had lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto Hashem, and sacrificed peace offerings. Verse 33. Uvakol Yisrael uzkeinav v'shot rim v'shot tav omdim mize umize laron neged HaKohanim HaLevim Nosei Aron Berit Hashem Yager Kazra Ketzlo Elmul Arkerizim VeHaKetzoyo Elmul Harinaval Asher Tziwa Moshe Eved Hashem Levarech Et Ha'am Yisrael Barishona. And all of Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites that bore the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem, as well as the stranger as the homeborn, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first, that they should bless the people of Israel. Who should bless the people of Israel? The Kohanim, or the Levim, with the Kohanim. It's not clear to me from this English translation. Verse 34. V'achareken kara et kol divrei ha-Torah ha-bracha v'haklala k'kol ha-katu v'sefer ha-Torah. And afterwards he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. And that's referring to the Torah. Verse 35. Lo haya davar mikol asher siwa Moshe asher lo kara Yehoshua neged kol kahal Yisrael v'hanashim v'hata v'hager ha'olech v'kirbam. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read, not before all the assembly of Israel, and the women and the little ones and the strangers that walked among them. This verse is clear. Joshua was reading the Torah to everyone. Why do the rabbis in the Talmud not include the women as an obligation? Why did Joshua include the women as an obligation to hear the words of the Torah, to do the actions of the blessings and the curses? Why was this not an obligation that continued? These are questions. I don't have the answers. Does anybody else have any questions as our class is complete? We have two more classes this afternoon and evening, one at 4:30 West Coast time, which is a deep Zohar class. And at our 7 o'clock class will be a Tikkuni Zohar class. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Shalom.